the word. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe.
Power, making him God's dear child. my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name.
All right, good job, guys. Let's do one more. Number 17. Number 17, come thou foul.
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, all for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above.
Says, let thy goodness like a fetter bind, bind. Watch where his heart's getting bound. Bind my wandering heart to thee. And that's the thing. That's why I like these times we get to come back together, the times we get to come together on Thursday nights and on Sunday mornings. Oftentimes we get out there throughout the work week or our school week, and there's so many things to take our heart and our attention, our affections off of God. But it's those times that we get to come back together and refocus that our attention back onto him. And this is an awesome prayer for you guys to have. Hey, Lord, would you help me out when I step away from church? Would you take my heart and bind it to thee? It's prone to wander, Lord. I feel that. It's prone to leave you, who I love. And oftentimes, you know, if I ask you guys, do you really love God? Of course, everybody here would say, yes, I do. But sometimes when we get away from, you know, each other, and we get away from the accountability of the brothers and sisters in Christ, what happens? We do things that are completely against God. And if we truly loved him, we wouldn't want to hurt him like that. But this is just a really good characteristic of human nature right here. We're prone to wonder, we're prone to leave God, and we know we love him, so what can we do to try to avoid that? Ask God to bind your heart towards him. When I step away, God, please bind my wandering heart to thee. Let's sing that last verse one more time. When we get done, I'm going to have Jared come up here. I'm sorry, brother, I didn't bring that little stand that we have to usually set you guys up. We've been doing them at the church so long, I forgot about our little routine. You can use this chair to set your notes on if you want to, but sit up here so everybody can hear. We can get you on the recorder. We'll sing that last verse, and after that, someone will pray, and then we'll hear from Jared. But remember that, guys, when you sing this last verse. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you'd have enough guts, and God have mercy on me. I hope I do, too, to pray that last prayer right there, verse number 3. All right.
Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind.
as Jared's coming, Sarah, can you pray and ask Lord to bless him?
Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us and just another chance to all get together around your word. And I just pray for Jared right now and just calm any nerves that he may have. And I just pray that you give him the words to say what you lay on his heart this week. And just thank you for Zach. Thank you for Bob and all that you've done for us. And I just pray that you bind our wandering hearts to you and just let us focus on those things above. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just go up there by a chair. You want to sit, stand, go ahead. You want me to stand up there and hold him up for you? I'll do that too.
We'll start. All right. Today I chose to do my devotion on pride because it's a problem that I and a lot of other people deal with, and I didn't realize I had a problem with pride until a couple days ago. Someone called me a show-off, and I was a little butthurt at first, and then I realized that I have 99 problems, and my pride ain't one. It's all 99 of them, and it ain't no fun. Oftentimes, I find myself thinking I'm better than other people. For example, I'm almost old enough to get my driver's permit. And when I first realized that, I was really excited. I was running around telling, like, Cody, I think, or other people, my dad, that I was going to be a better driver than him and that I was a natural. And I believed that until the Sunday night before Memorial Day. My stepmom, Laura, took me to the parking lot to practice. I was doing really good until I tried to park. I parked it at first, but it was crooked, so I reversed it and started to straighten it out. I got a little too close to the curb, so I tried to slam on the brakes, but instead slammed on the gas. I went over a tall curb and hit a small tree. If you have your Bibles today, turn to Proverbs 16:18. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." That verse explains exactly what happened to me. It started with pride and ended with destruction, meaning my stepmom's car. That happens to a lot of Christians nowadays, but I don't know if they all crash their cars. They start off with a prideful spirit and end up with destruction. And then they get angry at the Lord when they fall. Galatians 6:3. Galatians 6:3 says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Well, I'm going to go a little off topic because I want to talk, like, different verses about pride. So, Galatians 6:3. So, nowadays, a lot of pastors, not Bob, think that they are holier than other people and think that they are better than people. I went to my stepmom's dad's church one time, and the pastor literally went up there for, like, 10 minutes, and he was done. And they turned on the screens and started playing some crap music, and it was boring. And then nobody can talk to them. You have to fill out this little pamphlet that's in your seat. And then, I don't know how it works. It probably takes a couple days, and then you end up talking to a robot. So, Proverbs 11:2. And Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly spirit is wisdom." So that's what happened to me. I was really prideful, and then I got shamed because I was, like, really sad and really mad that I crashed the car. That's embarrassing. And then they went around telling everybody. And it was at Memorial Day. So another example is that is, so everybody knows who Muhammad Ali is. He just passed away. Well, he was one of the best boxers to ever live, and he's well known. But he was drafted to fight in the Vietnam War, but he thought he could get out of it because he was a private person and thought, well, I'm this famous, so maybe I don't have to do the war. And he was, like, saying a lot of bad comments about it and stuff. And then he ended up with shame. He ended up with 5 years in prison, a $10,000 fine, and was banned from the sport that he came up from for 3 years. A prideful person will always be shamed. And during this devotion and being called a show-off, I realized that I need to start being humble. James 4:6. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisted the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. And that verse really made me think. He resisted the proud, and I'm a real proud person. I don't want to be resisted from God. I want his grace. I want to be humble. I want the Holy Spirit to convict me every time I'm being prideful. And if you guys see me being prideful, I want you guys to hold me accountable so I can get it right with the Lord. And I hope this devotion will help not only me, but all of you also. I'm probably the best speaker in church. I'm gonna...
Okay, in light of that, the next time Jared gets ready to speak, you guys, I want you guys to start a chorus of boos, okay? To help him out. All right, where did my hymnal go? All right, any suggestions? I picked the first three. You guys can pick the next three. What we got out there? Let's do it. What is that? 270. Haven of Rest. 270. Nah, great job, Jared. All right, 270. Here we go. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul. Safe evermore. And I yield in myself to his tender embrace, in faith the word. My fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. Soul in the haven of rest, I'll
361. No, what number is that? Someone beats me there, call it out. 381. All right, Israel, all on the altar, 381.
You have longed for peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Who can tell of a love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we shall share and receive when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul.
Good singing, guys. One more before AJ comes up.
Over here.
We got over here. That is it, man. All right, number 37. How great thou art.
Is it?
This is it. Yeah. And what an exercise and understatement for the Lord here.
All right, here we go. Number 37.
Oh Lord my God, when I am awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
How great thou art, how
brother. As he comes.
There, Father, thanks for the time we all have to come out here and get a little extra before we go to church Sunday and get a lot more for the words that Adrian is going to give us. We're just all to take that into our hearts and just do every day do your work for us. All have a great night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I'm going to go. Is it okay if I stand?
Yeah, please do.
Well, I'm not as good as a speaker as Jared is, so you're going to have to bear with me. Today, if you guys have your Bibles, I'm going to be in Romans 5, 1 through 5. And while Jared talked about pride, I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about patience. Along with pride, how Jared struggles with it, that's something that I struggle with quite a bit. If I had to rank a lot of the things that I do struggle with, patience would probably be the number one thing. And mostly just because whenever I want something to be done, I want it to be done when I want it, and I don't want to have to really wait on anything. And, you know, obviously that's not how the thing is supposed to work according to God. You know, it's supposed to go out how he wants it to go down. And I tend to like to rush what he wants to have done, or whenever I want something in the future, maybe, I tend to kind of, you know, sit there and, if anything, pray to him about it and be like, hey, you know, I know you got this going on in the future, and I know what's going to happen, but can you, you know, make a little room for me to have my little thing in the middle of it, you know? So that's something that I struggle with, but I mean, any of you guys, and I was just talking to Aaron about it when I got here, if any of you guys know me, you know, Gary Potter working on that stupid boat, you know, it's been solid like 6 months, and I still haven't got that thing, and that's all I ever do, you know, if anybody ever asks me about Gary, it's just, oh, Gary, you know. So that's the type of person I am. I want it now, and if I don't get it, I'm going to complain to somebody about it. So the main verses I'm going to be in is 3 and 4, but let's go ahead and read the whole thing, and then we'll jump into it. And verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not to be ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, when I was going through this whole thing, and I was trying to figure out sometime this week what I wanted to do this over, I kept reading through this, and I knew this was the passage I wanted to do, but I didn't know where I wanted to start off at. And I was reading in verse 2, and I read right at the end, something that the Holy Spirit just kind of pointed out to me, and it says at the end, it says that we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And I thought to myself while I was sitting in my, you know, my chair in my room, and the Holy Spirit's kind of sitting there beside me on my bed, he kind of leaned down and he pointed at that verse right there, and he said, hey, you know, you're not in school right now because it's summertime, so every day that you go to work, because I mean, I go to work 4 days out of the week and I'm there for like 8 hours a day, and he's like, you know, a lot of people there are seeing you. Are you able to go there and people know that you're able to stand and you're able to rejoice in what God's done for you, what, you know, what I've done for you? And I thought that, and I thought about that, and I said, man, you know, I don't know that I could. You know, I don't know if people at work, you know, when they ask me, because every morning I walk in, there's this guy with everything named Cameron, and he always asks me how I'm doing. And I thought about it, like, man, half the time my answer is just, oh, you know, same old thing, you know, or whatever. It's nothing, something like, oh, you know what, you know, tomorrow, well, Monday when I go back to work, I can't be like, you know what, I heard a really good sermon yesterday. It was really good, or I get to hang out with everybody from church. And I thought to myself, am I able to do that every day? Does somebody think of A.J. Patrick and they think, oh, yeah, that guy, you know, he's constantly talking about God and he's constantly rejoicing what he's done for him. I never once hear this guy complain about anything. And that's my main question for you guys today throughout this entire little lesson that I'm going to do. It's going to take about, you know, 15 minutes. Are you able to every day people think about you and they say, hey, this guy or this girl rejoices in what God's done, and they're able to stand on everything that he's done for him, and he doesn't care what anybody else has to say about it? So I was kind of reading that, and I thought to myself, well, you know, why is that? Why am I not able to stand on what God's done for me, and I'm not able to rejoice in stuff? And I read verse 3, and it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. And I thought right there, I thought, man, you know, it says that I'm supposed to glory in not only just anything God's done for me, but for tribulations also. And I kept thinking, and I thought, you know, do I even glory in tribulations? Have I even been through any tribulations? Is there anything in my life that I've gone through that kind of sucked, and I was able at the end of it, or maybe in the middle of it, just to say, you know what, Lord, thank you for doing this, because I needed this real bad, and this is what is going to strengthen my relationship with you. You know, I don't know how long school was. Back around, you know, first semester of school, I had a really good friend that I've been, you know, ever since I moved up to where we would go to school now, we were really good friends all throughout. And this friend of mine just kind of one day was like, you know what, man, I got other stuff going on, you know. I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to hang out. Because I asked him, I said, hey, man, you want to go hang out or whatever? He's like, no, I don't want to hang out. And so the guy kind of, you know, told me off, told me he didn't like me anymore, didn't want to hang out with me or anything. And I was just kind of like, man, that sucks, you know. I mean, I've known the guy for quite a while, you know. I mean, he was a good buddy of mine. And I remember going home and stuff like that, you know, I was constantly griping to my mom. I was like, man, why does, you know, why did he do that? You know, we were good friends and stuff. And any of you guys that know me, I'm not really a person to ever talk about, you know, if I'm going to cry about something or whatever. But I only do talk about whenever it makes a good point. And I remember one night I was laying in my room just kind of hanging out, listening to some hymns and whatever. And I kind of, you know, I felt the tears coming on. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. You know, I'm a guy. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord, you know, he's like, boy, it's going to happen. You know, you're going to And I remembered a message that Zach gave, and also another one Bob gave. He talked about how the Lord has a bottle for your tears. And I remembered sitting there thinking, and I thought, and I said, Lord, you know, this is going to happen. So before this happens, I want you to know, whatever tears that I'm going to cry right now, let it not be for the loss of a friendship with this guy. Let it be for the fact that now, because you let me build a relationship with this person for this long, and now that it's taken away from me, let me realize that this is exactly what you feel like on a daily basis with me. This is exactly what, you know, you're the one that every day has to sit there and shed some tears over me because you come up and you want to hang out with me, you want to get into the Bible with me after I get off of work or get off of school. And I say, you know what, Lord, nah, I've got time for you today. I got to go do my thing. I got to go, you know, watch a movie. I got to go hang out with, you know, my brother. I got to go do this. I got to do that. And I thought, I said, Lord, just let any tear that come out, let it be known that those are my sorry tears for I'm sorry for doing this. I'm sorry for blowing you off when I should have been hanging out with you. So I noticed that. And I know that's not a tribulation that, you know, people in the 1600s or the 1500s had to deal with, you know, where, you know, you get persecuted for what you believe. But to me, that was a little bit of a tribulation. Lord took me through that, and he let me build a relationship with somebody to the point to where we were so good of friends, and then he took it away from me to show me you need to spend more time with me, and you need to care about me more than you do somebody else who's just going to leave you like this. And I thought about that, and to me, that was my own little tribulation that, you know, obviously doesn't amount to much, but it was my own little thing that I have special. And I read the next part of this verse, and it says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So I thought to myself, you know, while putting this together, well, man, you know, I don't got any tribulation. I mean, I don't have much of a tribulation in my life, and I don't have any patience for anything. Why is that? And I thought, well, man, maybe it's just because God doesn't put me through tribulation very much because he knows I probably can't handle it. You know, he puts me in a situation, and he says, oh, you know, he's just going to complain, and he's not going to learn nothing out of it anyhow. So, you know, what's the point? What's the point of putting him through that? And so I thought about that, and I kind of thought, well, man, you know, I wish the Lord would put me through some stuff a little bit more so I would get patience. And, you know, I looked at these characters in the Bible a few days ago. I was reading the story of Joseph. I was kind of reading through that thing, and he came along. And I was reading, I was like, man, this guy's got a lot of patience, you know what I mean? Like, he dealt with a whole lot of stuff, and he was able to totally forgive his brothers and get right with them and just totally have a brand new relationship with them after what happened to him. I thought, man, well, why is that? And, you know, this is just, I'm going to get off topic here because just to show you guys how I think and how my mind does when I read stories. I don't like to read. If any of you guys know me, I don't like to read. I like, you know, to take the laziest route possible, you know, watch a movie or whatever. And when I read stories in the Bible, because it's not something that, like, I can connect with, you know, almost like, you know, the war that's going on right now, like if I read a story over that or, you know, something in World War II or anything, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that happened. I forget sometimes that these are real people and this is real stuff that happened to them. So, just like an example, we got home from Gary's, and Cody and me and Christopher were outside playing basketball, right? Like, this just shows you how everything real that happens, you know, like, if you watch a movie or read something bad, this is how, you know, childish my mind is and how I don't realize that that's real stuff. And we were playing outside, we were playing basketball, we were playing 21, and I was winning at first, you know, I was, like, at 5, and they were at 0. And then next thing I know, Cody's at, like, 17, Christopher's at 12, and I'm at 0, and I'm like, no, this is not fun. I don't want to do this anymore. So I'm inside, you know. So I walked inside, and I left them out there, and they're like, oh, we're going to play, you know, because they're good at it. I'm not. And so I walked past my mom. She's like, hey, we're leaving, you know, we're going to the Brad Keynes or whatever. And I was like, okay. She's like, you want to come with me? And I was like, no, I stink. You know, I want to lay home and do my thing, relax. So I go downstairs. That was like at 5:30. 9:30 rolls around. And I'm like, oh, hey, Cody and Christopher aren't outside anymore. Are they up the street? So like, I look out the street. No, they're not out there. And I didn't even realize that they could have gone with my mom. So I text her and I was like, hey, are Cody and Christopher with you? And she's like, yeah. Yeah, well, okay, in my mind, like, if she would have texted back no, I thought that because I read all these movies, you know, I mean, like, read all these, you know, books on war and, like, watch all these cool movies, that, like, I thought I was mentally ready to go on, like, a journey and find the guy who kidnapped me, and take him down and, like, you know, get them back, and then everybody would be like, oh, Agent, you know, Agent's capable of that. So it's stupid, right? It's like, sometimes it's very childish, that how my mind works, and then she texted me back yes, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. But, like, deep down, I was like, I don't know, man. Like, if this dude kidnapped Cody, like, Cody's psychotic, you know? Like, you guys don't know Cody very well. Like, if he kidnapped Cody, you know, like, that's going to be hard for me to fight him off. And so, I was kind of scared, but then a part of me was like, dude, no, you watched all the movies. You know exactly how this is going to go. So, just to get back to what I was talking about, I don't even remember what it was anymore. That's how I read, you know, that's how I, like, imagine stuff going down. Like, I don't really read stories and the detail it should be, and really realize that Joseph was a guy who had to really deal with all the stuff he did. And I was reading through it, and I was reading all that stuff that he did and he had to deal with, and I realized, man, like, what an amazing amount of patience this guy must have had to have. And I realized, well, how did he just miraculously get this? I know for a fact, if somebody did any of that to me, I would not be able to, let alone talk to him, but even forgive him for that. And so then I realized, man, you know, he went through some stuff. Lord put him through some stuff that whole time that he didn't deserve at all. But he did it to him so that way he could learn from that and gain some patience. And he could deal with somebody on a level that they needed to be dealt with without, you know, exploding and taking it farther than he should have. And so then I kept on reading through this verse. And the next part says, in patience, experience. And so I thought, okay, well, what next? You know, if tribulation builds your patience, then what is your patience going to build? And it says there that it builds your experience. And I thought, well, man, you know, I don't get very much experience. You know, I hear these guys at church, you know, like Aaron and Zach and Bryce and stuff. Bryce was actually just telling me about this on Thursday, about how he had his boss at work came up and was like, hey, you know, Bryce, we need to talk about religion. And I was like, well, man, I'm at work, you know, like 8 hours a day, 4 days a week, and nobody's ever came up to me and be like, hey, you know, AJ, we got to talk about religion or whatever. I was like, you know, why don't I have any opportunities like that? Why is there nothing popping up that shows me, you know, I get to have a chance to talk with somebody about that? And I thought, well, man, because I'm not allowing myself and I'm not willing to go through any tribulation, it's not allowing me to build any patience. And my lack of patience, Lord doesn't want me to mess something up with somebody else, so he's just not going to give me any experience to deal with somebody. He knows that the minute I get in there, I'll just be like, oh, well, you know what? I know that they're unsaved, and I won't deal with them like an unsaved person. I'll try to deal with them like they're me. I'll try to deal with them like they're somebody who will understand everything that I understand. I mean, just yesterday at Gary's shop, one of these guys that works with him was talking, and I told him, I was like, man, if Gary does not, here's an example of my impatient, you know, how impatient I am. It's like, if Gary doesn't hurry this up, I'm going to kill myself. And he was like, oh, I'll just kill you anyway because, you know, you'll go to hell if you kill yourself. He's like, so you can go to heaven if I kill you, you know? And I was in that situation, I was like, should I just, like, correct this guy, you know, because he doesn't know what he's talking about or whatever? And, you know, and then I didn't, but see, right there, like, I don't get situations like that because I'm not patient enough to deal with it. And I thought about that, and I was like, well, man, this is kind of being a trickle-down effect, you know, because I don't have one thing, and I won't allow one thing to happen. I can't do a whole bunch of other things. And so then after that, I noticed that if you go through all that stuff, if you go through tribulation and you allow yourself to get some patience, and then you start getting a little bit of experience with what God wants, you start to get hope. It says that experience leads to hope. And I realized, well, man, if you go through all that stuff, you'll kind of end up like one of these guys that you read about back in the Old Testament, like Joseph or Moses, or in the New Testament, Paul. You know, these guys who went through so much and allowed themselves to get on a level where God could really work with them. And now, through all that stuff, no matter what tribulation they went through, they were allowed to have hope through that thing. And they had patience with anybody that they really dealt with back there. And so I thought, well, man, hopefully God will just, you know, put me through some stuff so that way I can gain a little bit of patience and then I can have some experience with people. And then I can just finally have my question was at the very beginning of this thing, some type of hope to stand on with Jesus Christ and know that with anything that I do, no matter who I'm going to deal with, no matter what situation I go into, I'm going to have the hope to know that Lord will get me through it and I'm going to get something out of it in one way or another, because no matter what I go through, I'm going to have the patience to deal with somebody on whatever I was brought through. So that's all I got for you guys. It was you know, a little short and whatever, but I hope you guys got something out of it.
All right. Well, great job, AJ and Jared. Thank you again. I think that'll be our last one until camp, guys. So we'll resume it afterwards. I think we might have something started up in Nebraska by that time. So we'll keep you guys posted and let you know what's going on. So a couple things real quick. You know where Justin is with the burgers?
He's outside. I can go check on.
Okay. But she's checking on that. But then, and we're doing the posters, we said, after we eat, right?
If he's not quite ready, we can do posters now. They're
okay.
All right here.
Okay, cool. So depending on what Angela says, July 9th, you guys know that we have the car wash coming up. So we hope that all you guys come out to that. You can either do it all day, which is from 10 till 4 or 10 till 2. And so, but what they have it scheduled as right now is they have from 10 to 12, they have it for like the younger kids, everyone under 7th grade. And after that time, 12 to 2, like we did 2 years ago, they have it scheduled for us. I'll be up there all day if you want to hang out all day. It really goes by really fast. We're just having a good time and just trying to raise some money for camp. So in light of that, we got some special little marker pins out here and a grenade that just went off in the kitchen. So, but no, and how's it looking, Angela?
We should do the posters.
Okay.
About 15 minutes. That's right. Plenty of
perfect,
time
perfect. So in that meantime, we're going to put some posters up on this table, maybe over here. What's up, Sarah?
Mom says for the size, so make sure you make car wash big and you make sure you write donations on it.
There you go. So we want to make sure that they can read that, car wash. All the creativity and beautiful pictures won't mean much if they don't know what we're doing. They'll just think, well, that was nice. Thanks for standing there. That's better than the scenery that was behind you, you know. So make sure that you put car wash really big and donations, because that's what we're really trying to get, okay?
There are 7 poster boards, so you can split up into groups, and you'll have to share them. There's permanent markers right over here. There's, like, all colors. Make sure you draw on the side that doesn't have the sticker. See how there's a sticker? Draw on the opposite.
Alright, so car wash really big, and then we'll put the donation on there too. Alright, so good deal. And if you want, you can just put one or the other on like a poster. Like just put a poster that says car wash, poster that says donations.
Someone make one that says thank you. Just thank you.
Yeah, that too. That's very good. Alright, well good deal, guys. Let's have Mackenzie. Would you like to bless the food?
Sure.
And so she'll bless the food now and afterwards. Might be a little bit of time, but you guys can go out and get that when it's ready. They'll let you guys know. But in the meantime, like I said, just grab a poster. Is there anywhere you don't want them working on that?
No, go ahead. Just try not to get the marker on the carpet. But if you do, just please let me know. You won't be in trouble, I promise.
Okay, go ahead, Kenzie. Okay.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for AJ and Jared being able to share their messages with us. And please bless this food and please help it nourish and strengthen our bodies. And love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, good job, guys. I'm going to take Herb over and meet your parents. So I love you all. Good job. If you're ready for camp, we're going to hit them hard and make them fumble.